Hello everyone, and welcome to Create Your Life, this video series going beyond mediocre to infinite possibility. And today I'm so excited that we have Mira Claire with us, who's going to share with us her favorite tools and tips that and processes that she uses from Access Consciousness, because I wanted to create a series specifically for that. I mean, I already have another series where we talk about all sorts of other stuff. So this one, I wanted to be just Access Consciousness and some of the basic or simple or easy tools that all of us can use to start creating our lives, to go beyond mediocre to infinite possibility. So I'm Alara Canfield. I'm the host. I'm a speaker, author, coach, telesummit host of Awaken to Happiness Now, and so much more. So, you know, when I try and talk about what I am and what I do, it's like, oh, it keeps changing and keeps growing. It's so much fun. which is exciting, and that's part of creating your life, right? And so today we have, as I said, Mira Claire with us as our guest speaker, guest host. And Mira is an artist, an author, and happiness enthusiast. And she has been helping people to live inspired, alive inside lives for 15 years now. And she has recently written and published Have You Ever, her first children's book. And Mira believes in the power of living on the creative edge and believes that art should be a part of everyone's lives. So we're going to talk about that and a lot more. So, you know, as I always say on my shows, please open up your hearts and welcome Mira to the show. So I'm just going to say, I'm going to invite all of you to open up your hearts and welcome Mira to the show. So Mira, welcome.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
I'm so glad because I get to talk to so many wonderful people, such potent creators who are doing magnificent things in their lives. And I just get to be me and ask simple and sometimes silly questions about what it takes to create your life. So Mira, because this is the first time you're on the show and this is the first series of this show, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what some of your favorite tools are that you use on a daily basis?
A daily. Oh my gosh, there's like so many. I was thinking about this earlier about like what are my favorite tools and they're probably everybody else's favorite tools. So how can I be different? Exactly. Like you said, I'm an artist. I run a business in Colorado in the US. And I do Access, and before that I did a lot of stuff with bodies. I got into looking at bodies through Pilates and energy medicine and then the Access tools, and probably studied like so many different Access Consciousness. Other energy medicine modalities in addition to Access. And when I found Access, I was like, oh wait, I don't think I need anything else. This is like everything. And with Access, it they invite you to be who you are rather than doing something that somebody else does. And that was the most profound. So since then I've been using the tools. Definitely creating a life that is not mediocre.
So what does that mean to you? Yeah, what does that mean to you to go beyond mediocre?
Well, that's a great question because I think like for me, I would say like mundane, like you have your mundane life, which is like this, the sort of like the day, the same thing in and out, working, the rat race kind of things. So mundane, mediocre, status quo, all these sorts of. So it's not to me, like if you just look from the outside, I do all these things. I get my kids ready for school. I take them to school. I'm a mom. The business that I run is a house cleaning business. So I do a lot of things that just look, you know, average. It's not like I'm a lottery winner and have driving a Ferrari and going to like, I don't know, Paris for lunch. Like to me, that's not necessarily what it means to be living a not mediocre life. Life is life. And it is in that how you, like your point of view creates your reality. And and so all the things that I do because it's fun they all are super easy. Life falls together, all these kinds of things. But from the outside, it just looks like normal or mundane. However, it's like the
anything but this
mm-hmm. the energy of which I live my life makes life fun. Mm-hmm. So a tool, like I just said, I kind of threw it out there, which is your point of view creates your reality. Mm-hmm. That is a brilliant tool. Like I said before, I run a house cleaning business. And so like I could be looking at like, oh yeah, I clean other people's toilets as it's like, this is sucks. But it really doesn't. Like I really enjoy everything that I'm doing. My point of view is that life is super fun and it doesn't matter what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It's like the joy, there's joy in everything. So that's my point of view. So everything is created with joy, that is fun, it's easy. Those are my points of view. Took me a while to get there.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know, when you're talking about house cleaning, I am not a house cleaner at mm-hmm. all. So my husband, you know, I made a list yesterday. It's like, okay, he says, okay, you have to do laundry and the dishes and put out the garbage. That's the three things. I was like, okay, well, I'll try. So I wrote them down. So I did the dishes. I didn't get to the laundry.
How's
I got one. I might get to laundry later, but it's okay, right? So,
totally.
But you know, for some of us, you know, house cleaning or cleaning a house or doing housework is not fun, right? So for me, it's not fun. So I would rather hire someone to come in and clean my house. And when I mentioned that to my mom, and she likes to clean, like she's, you know, the opposite of me. She cleans and she cooks and she loves it. I don't know if she loves it, but she does it. And so when I told her, I said, oh, I'm going to get a lady to come in to clean my house. And she goes, you only have a one bedroom apartment. She said, yeah, but still it has to be cleaned and I don't want to do it. So, you know, it's okay.
Right.
Right. So
well, that in and of itself is another really great tool. You do what works for you. If cleaning your house doesn't work, you find somebody else to do it. And that actually is because like when you're doing things that you don't want to do, like how long does it take you to do something you don't want to do? Like forever and ever because you procrastinate and you push and put it off and then you probably do a really crappy job of it. When you're actually doing things that you want to do, it's like fun, and it happens quickly. Like a lot of times, I would say, like even with doing the dishes, even though you might look at them and be like, I have to do those, but they keep sitting there and they keep sitting there. Eventually, like at one moment, they might all of a sudden just get done, and you're like, oh, that was so easy. There is a right time for things, and when you're like willing to like be in that flow.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree. Yes, exactly. And that's why, you know, it was, even though I had written it down on my list, you know, it's like, okay, I was doing other stuff and, you know, it's like, all right. So, maybe I'll do the dishes now. Meaning put them in the dishwasher. Maybe I'll do the dishes now. It's like, okay,
that's a good time.
Exactly. It's like, oh yeah, now's a good time to do that. All right. Just putting them in the dishwasher, but still. Exactly. So timing, right? And so being in the question of, is now the time to do this or that? And is it fun for me? Or, you know, you mentioned about going to Paris for lunch, for example. Well, I just went to Spain for a few days for the moment, and that was fun for me. And it was so, it contributed so much because I was seeing my family who were there, and I got to, you know, see and experience a beautiful sun and the beach, and it's like, oh my goodness, this is so lovely. I love it, you know. And it wasn't that expensive, you know. It doesn't really, I mean, I went because I was going to see my family, and so that was important for me. And it was fun. I had a great time, and they all had a great time, and they were glad I was there. So it was like, it was a win-win-win, right, for everyone. But it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm going to do that every weekend. It's when it's the right time. You know, and checking in with yourself, like, oh, is this a good time to do this? Or is this a good time to do that? And would this be fun for me? And what will this create for my life? I'm sorry, I'm asking all the questions.
Wait a second. You know stuff too?
Right? And so these are the things that we can all ask, right? We can all ask, you know, what will this create for me? And is this fun for me? Instead of not asking anything and not doing it because you know, you come to conclusion, right?
Mm.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, yeah. Well, access is all about asking questions. Now, some people overuse this tool with questions. And I think for me, I was one of those people for a long time, like everything. It was like, do I want to sit here? Am I going to sit in this chair? Am I going to eat? And do which bite do I want? Like, I am a little bit OCD in that way that like everything I did became like a question. And I think sometimes people can overthink things, like overuse tools. Like really, Gary says the tools are really for when you're stuck, like for when you come to a crossroads and you don't know what to do. That's when you pull out your questions, because ultimately, access is about like you just being you.
Yeah.
Crazy. And it's not about like trying to figure out the right question. Or figure like ask the right question to get the correct answer. And that I notice a lot of people will use questions in a way of looking for a right answer. And then that is still not in question. And it can get really like murky. Like, oh well, do I do this? Or is now the right time? If you're not questions are more like balloons. Like you ask a question and then you let it float away. You don't like follow it and then try to figure out where is it going. And for me, asking a question, especially those questions that just float away or float out of my mind, is when the universe can actually, bam, create it the quickest. Like those things that you go like, wait a second, this morning I was just asking for that and it came today. That's where you're like, oh my God, I was just asking for that. And you kind of have to remind yourself, oh yeah, I did. Didn't I just ask for lemonade? And then somebody just brought me a lemonade, like that sort of thing. But we think that we have to have the right answer. And that's where I think a lot of people get kind of hung up on it still, because man, this whole reality is about having the right answer.
Yeah. I think so. I was
everything
stuck in
that brings up.
Yes.
I want to ask you guys, will you destroy and uncreate it?
Yes.
I'm the Godzillion. Good, bad, right, wrong, puck, pud, all nine shorts, boys, and beyonds. Yeah. There is no right answer. There's no right answer. There is no right answer. There's no right answer.
There is no right answer. Yeah, so can everybody say that three times? There is no right answer? Because, you know, that's something else that...
There is no right answer. There is no right answer. We could say that like 100,000 times and yeah, there would still be energy on it, I think.
Yeah. But I was stuck with that for a long time. But like, what question do I ask, you know, and what is, you know, like, what is the right question and how do I word it and how do I say it? And then other times when I wasn't focused, because that's the mind, right? When I was just focused on being and just experiencing life and then choosing from a place of, oh, this feels good. This feels fun, right? It feels, for me, it was like good and fun. It feels expansive and feels good and fun. It's like, yeah, I'm going to do this, you know? Not knowing exactly how things would turn out, but it's like, yeah, I like this. Let's do this. Let's see what happens. And so for me, it's always about, let's see what happens in that sense of awe and wonder.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I think that's a great way to put it that, if it's not light and fun, that's when you pull out your tools, but it's like, and you can ask, like, for example, I'm here in San Francisco. I'll show you, I'm sitting in an alleyway, busy street down the way. But yeah, I'm here in San Francisco, just did the COP with Brendan and Dane. And it's
I'm sure
like,
that was amazing.
They're always great. Any access class is always gonna be amazing. But the like looking at like which one do I want to go to, that's places to like ask questions. Like, which COP? Because there's one coming up closer to me in Denver, or you know, like it's just like which one will be like fun, or I look at it like which one is the most sparkly, which one has the most lightness to it, and I pick that one. Usually there's a feeling in my body, like an actual feeling, like my body will relax or get tingly, or the space behind my back will start to kind of lighten up and move, and that's where I pay attention. I'm like, oh, my body knows something about that one. Or, oh, my body just relaxed when I think about going to that one. I think the body is a great tool.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I don't think we ask the body enough questions, or we don't bring the body into conversation, you know, enough, for sure.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's subtle. It is like the breeze, the body giving you information. Mm-hmm. It is that, like, that soft whisper that we have shut off a lot. We've definitely shut off the listening to how the body speaks. But yeah, that for me, like right now, would all of you be willing just to lower your barriers and then lower your barriers to your body? And anything that doesn't allow that, let's destroy and uncreate all that.
Yes.
Good, bad, right, wrong, puck, bad, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. So yeah, we're trained to like shut off our body. And what does our body know? You know, like this whole reality is not necessarily about listening to the body or valuing the body. I mean, the things that we do here is all about judgment of our bodies. But what if you didn't have to do that? What if there was another choice available? So yeah, just lower your barriers again. Just notice, oh, I have a body. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. And would you allow yourself to start a conversation with it? Hey, buddy, what would you like to eat today? Mm-hmm. Will you show me? I'm really stupid. I have a lot of points of view about what I think you should eat and not eat. But would you start showing me what would be fun for you or what would be delightful for you? And anything that doesn't allow you to start having that kind of conversation, we destroy it.
Yes.
Cool. Holy
yes,
shit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Good, bad, right, wrong, fuck, pot, all nine shorts, boys, girls. That's a lot of energy on that, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have these sweet, sweet bodies. Sweet bodies. They're like, oh, bodies. I'm bodies. They're so kind and willing to do like anything for you, everything for you, everything you're asking your body to do, it is happy to do it, even if it means killing itself.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and everything that brings up, will you destroy it and create it?
Yes.
Good, bad, right, wrong, puck, puddle, and nine shorts, boys, meons. Yeah, bodies don't have very many points of view about anything. Like, yeah, there's certain, like, even, I like, pain, I mean, like, I have done things where for example, I had, here in the U.S., you turn 40 and you should get a mammogram. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll get a mammogram. They're like, oh, there's something in there we want to get a closer look. We would really like to do a biopsy. My point of view, I've never had a biopsy. That sounds interesting. That kind of sounds fun. I've never done that before, right? I'm curious. I get in to do the biopsy, like in their procedure, they're like poking around, bodies being cut up. I'm like, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. I don't like this. I don't want to do, see, the body was like, sure, let's try that. And then it was like, I've had enough of this. I don't ever need to do that again. Like, that was interesting, and now let's do something different. But even if pain and suffering, the body will still be like, okay, you want to try pain and suffering? Okay, let's do that. All right. That's what you want.
So, you know, that's interesting because, you know, my mother had cancer, you know, a while ago. She's in remission now. And so after she had the cancer, you know, my sisters and I were told, oh, you guys should, you know, get a mammogram every year, plus do this other special test to see if you carry the gene, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I don't buy into that. So no, thanks. It's okay. But my sister, my older sister, she's like, I had to get a mammogram. I was crying all day and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh. But for me, it's like, it's not a choice. It's not a possibility even, you know, just because my mother had something does not mean that I'm going to have it too. So I'm not even going
to... Wait a second. Wait. What? Wait, you don't have to be your mother?
I don't have to be, and I don't have to choose that for myself, right?
No, you have to.
Do I, really? And so it's hard for my sister because she doesn't get it, right?
Right, well, yeah. Well, yep, we don't have too many choices when it comes to genetics. is the point of view.
That's the point of view of a lot of people.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
So everything that brings up for everybody, will you destroy and uncreate it? No, you don't have to be your mother. And you do have choice there. You actually do have choice. Would you be willing to allow yourself to choose something different?
Yes.
And anything that doesn't allow that, good, bad, right, wrong, puck, pud, all nine shorts, boys, and girls.
And so I was talking before you came on, I was talking about, I'm getting hot flashes. So either it's hot flashes or menopause or it's something else or it's these lights. It's like, oh, what is it? And so I've been returning to sender. I've been saying, who does this belong to? Return to sender for every time I get a hot flash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't worked yet. So that just is me.
Wait, didn't Caroline just say that about menopause? I saw it in the chat, but I didn't really see it.
Yeah, so it was not a possibility for her, but she still got it. You know, it's like, So who does that belong to, Caroline?
Right. There is this thing called allowance. When we have a point of view of the being, and we're like, no, that doesn't work for me. But in actuality, that is actually what's happening for the body. How much allowance are you having for, you know, what the body actually is requiring?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a lot of times, like, you know, my body does get sick. There's days that I just have to lay down. And that's an honoring of my body. So, you know, like, so you get menopause, but how does it get better then? You do have a body, and the body does require things. And if you didn't have a point of view about those things, like that menopause is bad or hot flashes are awful, or, you know, like if you could actually look at your point of view about those things, would you have more ease with it?
Yes. And actually, it hasn't been that bad. It's been actually pretty good because that means I'm never cold.
Right?
Normally I'm cold. So I was like, I'm never cold now. It's kind of good. But you're right. It's my point of view that I'm saying it's like there's something wrong with it. You know, there's a reason why, you know, and it's like, no, it's just a way of the body functioning, you know, not necessarily aging, but, you know, it's a biological function of the body, right? So maybe just allow it to be and it'll just regulate itself. I think that's what I wanted to do, just regulate itself. So when I'm cold, sure, bring on the hot flash. When I'm hot, don't bring it on.
Let's vortex.
Yes. 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 Exactly.
So Caroline says we do not create a reality. Well, yeah. There's a little bit of both in there, right? Like if you're looking at you creating your reality from a fixed point of view, like I shouldn't have to be experiencing this. That's not really creating your reality. Where it's like saying, like, I want everybody, why isn't everybody happy on this planet?
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to look at what is.
Interesting. Yeah, and thank you for that, Caroline. It's true, right? It's like, what does creating our realities actually mean? And it's going to be different for each of us, right? But what does that mean for us? So what does that mean for you?
While she's responding, it's like saying, like, why do I have to pee all the time? I don't understand it. This body, it always wants to pee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, come on. Yeah. You're going to intake water. It's going to need to pee.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, no, that's true.
It's your experience of what's going on. It's your point of view that is creating your reality. So yes, you are creating your reality. If you don't want hot flashes and you're angry and upset. Well, first of all, I would even say, like, whose point of view is it that you shouldn't have to experience menopause?
Mm-hmm.
And then whose point of view is it that you're even upset that, like, you should, that this weird change is happening? What if it was actually interesting and curious and delightful?
Hmm.
And how much more ease and fun could you actually have with it? And what if that was your point of view?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I like that. Yeah. It's like letting go of the fixed points of view and just being with the flow, right? Being in allowance of whatever is happening and watching it with wonder. It's like, oh, I wonder what today is going to be like.
Yeah.
Right?
So I think, with that, you know, with the thing about menopause and creating your reality, well, what exactly is your reality? My reality is ease.
Yeah.
My reality is joy. That is my reality. Now, if I'm going to get detailed and be like, but I'm not driving a Maserati, what the fuck? Why am I not driving a Maserati yet? That's not ease and joy. That's getting like to the details of it. Ease and joy is like, oh, I can have ease and joy in anything, whether I'm driving a Maserati or a VW Bug. I will be having ease and joy in that. Now, when you have more allowance, when you can actually look at, well, what is your reality and get a bigger picture, not that specific, like, well, so what I want to ask you, Caroline, is that what it was? The chat goes by so fast. My brain didn't look that closely.
Yeah.
Well, what truly is your reality and what are you actually frustrated with?
Yeah. And so, you know, and that's, you know, it's looking, it's, for me, it's about the overall big picture, right? So for you, you know, you said you want ease, right? I want ease. I want.
Well, I'm going to pause right there. It's not that I want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank
no,
you.
I do not. I don't want for nothing.
Yeah.
I create it. I have it and I choose it. And that's all that shows up for me.
Yeah. And that's what, you know,
life
what
happens,
I'm trying to put those into the right framework, but it's like, if you were creating your reality, what would you be experiencing, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but it's a bigger picture in there. So everywhere where like you think creating your reality is like the fine details of things, where you guys destroy and then create all of that. Like,
yeah.
Well, if I'm creating my reality, why don't I have millions of dollars in my bank account?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So everything that is, where you guys destroy and then create all of that.
Yes.
Tons of godzillion. Good, bad, right, wrong, puck, bud, online shorts, boys and beyonds. Yeah. It's actually, it's a lot easier when you're willing to be a lot more space. So right now, everybody on this call, will you allow yourself to be way more space? So like Julia did those energy pulls. I don't know if you guys were on, and if any of you were on the first call with Julia, like just become aware of the space around you. Mm-hmm. And expand it out, become aware of the earth and become aware of the city that you're in or the town, or become aware of the trees, become aware of the grass, become aware of the moon and the sun and all the planets and the space between all the space. Ooh. Become aware of the oceans, become aware of all the suns in the whole universe. Just allow yourself to be way more space. That in that you can, you will. When you're so here's a great tool. If it's heavy, like if you're heavy about anything, there's something in there that you're not being space with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, being space, practice just that exercise of being space or allowing yourself to be more space creates space for that ease, that joy to show up more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great. And that's one of the tools I use regularly every day as well. Just, you know, expanding out as much as, you know, as big as the universe. And then in that space, when you're that space, those nitty gritty things just don't bother you as much anymore. You know, it's like they just evaporate, right? And once you have that space, then you can actually be open to different possibilities and different, even different impressions or different perspectives or, and I'm thinking logical mental words, but different way of being when you're actually being space.
Yeah. Well, when you're space, the universe, there's more space for the magic of the universe to actually move the molecules to create everything that you're asking for, to actually create your reality. When you're being those fixed points of view, it's like that rock in your shoe, you know, it starts to rub and get stuck and start to hurt, like those sorts of things when you have those fixed points of view. That space, just that exercise, you said you do it daily. Like, I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, being space is a constant exercise, especially when interacting with other people. Mm-hmm. And because the contraction, the mind, like there's so many energies out there that are that heavy, the contraction, the small, the like the linearity of things. Mm-hmm. And that practice of being space is not only daily, it's like
constantly.
Constantly. It's like every second I am, I'm aware of my space and I'm aware of other people's space. And that in that, that who does it belong to tool, has anybody talked about that yet? I haven't been.
We didn't talk about it today. I just asked not, once. I just said it once.
Just once. This who does it belong to is probably the tool that has probably saved my life multiple times. This especially because before I had access, I would say I suffered from depression, mm-hmm. Which I would just say is because of being so aware. I mean, so many people on this call right now, you guys, if you're on this call, it's because you're aware of things. That awareness, if you don't think, if you think it's all yours, that's a heavy, heavy weight to be carrying around, like that weight, pain, suffering, depression, like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Anxiety even, and yeah.
Anxiety, mm-hmm. Fear, worry, rage, all that stuff. So everything that brings up, you guys destroy and uncreate it.
Yes.
Good, yes. Bad, right, wrong, cock, butt, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds.
And I just want to say really quickly before you go on, for those of you who may be new to Access stuff, because, you know, there are new people. You can go to theclearingstatement.com to get more information about that, okay?
About the part of will you destroy and uncreate it?
Good, yeah, clear, just the clearing statement part. Yeah, and you can go to accessconsciousness.com for other stuff, of course. Mm.
And YouTube it. God, there's so many videos. And get on Dane's tour of consciousness. He gives out amazing tools also. There's so many great resources that are out there and free if you want more information. But yeah, the who does it belong to tool is like my fave. Like I said, being aware, being a SpongeBob of everybody else's pain and suffering. And also like being an artist, like seeing the pain and suffering of this reality and wanting change or create something different for people. That was heavy on me. like I remember being a teenager and for the first time kind of like seeing the outside world and being like, why is there war? Why do people hate each other? Why is there all of this anger when we could just be happy? Why can't we all be friends? Like that's my point of view is, hi, I want to be a friend. I'm like a puppy dog. Let's be friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's be friends and let's create. Let's have fun. But that really isn't, that's not very many people's points of view. There is so much more about like creating walls, creating separation, things that are mine. People do actually like their pain. They do actually like their drama. They do actually like their suffering. But I was always like, let's do something different. Come, let's play. But yeah, that's not everybody's reality. That was a hard one for me to get over of like, oh, being an allowance of what other people are choosing. But that who does it belong to really allowed me to get clear about what I was being aware of and like what was actually true for me. Like I would notice I'd start getting upset about something or I'd start worrying about money, my bank account. That was a really big one. When I first started doing Access, like I was making no money and I was in debt and I wasn't able to pay my mortgage, these sorts of things. So worrying about money was really, that was mine. Mm-hmm. That was mine. I knew it because look at my bank account, I need to worry about money. And then as I started to really notice it and be in more question after like months of doing who does it belong to? And not only did I do it for 3 days, which in Access, if you come to a foundation class, that's you, who does it belong to? You want to do it for at least 3 days, if you can remember. But I did it for months, like months, weeks. I was constantly, who does that belong to? Wait, who does that belong to? And at one point, the fine tooth comb of things became like, oh, actually, wait a second. I would have that real familiar, this worry of money. Oh no, that's mine. Then there was space for it to actually be a question of like, wait, who does that actually belong to? Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh, that's my mom's reality. That's how she creates. That's how she would create her reality around money. And I was like, wait a second. You don't actually have to worry about money? And I was like, whoa. And it opened up so much for me that like, oh, this whole thing, this that I thought how you're supposed to do wasn't mine. And when I was able to actually see where it came from or that it wasn't mine and ask that question, I had so much more space with it. And anytime I noticed that worry of money come up, which that pattern, mm-hmm. these patterns about anything, would come up, I'd be like, oh, wait, what do I need to do here? Do I need to check my bank account? What am I being aware of right now, actually? And then I was able to use that, like, oh, my rent check is going to be deposited. I want to make sure that there's money in the bank account. You know, then I would actually be able to use it rather than that looping system of just like, oh God, money, what am I going to do? How am I going to make, what's this, which is, it's just worry. It's nothing else than that. It was just worry about money. It wasn't being creative. Then after I noticed that, like, oh, then I could actually take action and do it. Now I don't worry about money at all. I might not have it. I might have a lot of it, but there's no worry in there. I actually know that money follows joy. Mm-hmm. And it's always there for you.
That's what they say. For you.
That's not only what they say. It's actually true. It's actually true. And choose it. Money is a byproduct of your life and living.
Yes.
But a lot of people think that we have to have money first to be living, or we have to have money first and then make the choices. Well, that's not really true.
No. And sometimes it's about make the choice first and then...
Not only sometimes, it is always like that. Make the choice first. It doesn't matter if you have the money. If you don't have it, you can always just say, well, what would it take? Well, what would it actually take? Maybe right now I can't afford that Maserati, but what would it take to?
Mm-hmm. And then you might even come to the realization or awareness that you don't really want a Maserati.
I don't really want a Maserati.
Right? And so how many times has that happened? Like, how many times has that happened where you think you want something, you know, and then you're stressed out about not having it, and then you realize, oh, I don't really want it anyways. And then suddenly there's this space, like, then who did that belong to, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't yours to begin with. It was something, somebody else's, but you bought it as yours because you thought that that's what you had to do, because that's what everybody else does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is actually true for you?
And so that's important to note for everybody. What is actually true for you is going to be different. So what's true for you, you know, is not going to be the same thing that's true for me. So follow your own knowing, follow your own, intuitiveness and your hits, whatever is joyful for you. You follow that.
Yeah. What makes you feel alive? What makes you feel alive and what makes me feel alive are going to be different things. And just like, I mean, for a long time when I first started doing Access, I tried making what was right for Gary and Dane, what was right for me. And it took me a long time to realize, actually, that stuff is not valuable. What's valuable to them is really not valuable to me. Hmm. I, you know, don't, like, Access would be the first place, I think, to actually say, like, don't make anybody greater than you.
Yeah.
Not Gary, not Dane.
They say that anyway.
Any facilitator. They say it all the time.
All the time. All the time. Yeah. And they, and you know, I was just in the Being You class in Cologne. I did it online last second. Mm-hmm. But even he said, don't take my point of view. Mm-mm. You know, what do you know? Right. And follow that.
What do you know? Yeah. Well, right now, let's just do a real fun exercise.
Okay.
Everybody on the call or listening, whenever you are, close your eyes. Just become aware of your body. Hi, body. Is it sitting in a chair, laying on a bed, driving? go to that space that's inside of your heart. What is there? If you expanded that space that's inside your heart, what kind of life would you be living? Would you live on a farm? Would you live in a castle? Would you live under the water? Would you live on the moon? If that space inside of your heart, if you allowed that to tickle all the cells of your body, would you be able to judge your body? Let that space that's inside of your heart, like, fill your mind. Let it go through all the pathways to all the have-tos and the shoulds that you've taken on from this reality, from your parents' reality, from your friends' reality, from Gary and Dane's reality, from anybody's reality that's not yours. Let that energy, just melt it away. Let it liquefy everything that really is not true for you. Whether it's about relationships, whether it's about your body, what kind of lifestyle you should be living or not living, what you have for breakfast or not, what kind of sugar you might like, if it's organic or not organic, all that stuff. Just let that energy liquefy everything that is coming at you or coming out of you that just really is not true for you. Let all those points of view about what's good or bad. Like here in California, there's fires happening and a lot of people are really upset and traumatic about the fire. Fire is actually something that's really good for the earth, and a lot of times it really is needed. And yes, it's awful when people's stuff gets burned, but it's just stuff, you know? Like, it's terrible when people die and we miss them. And there's also something bigger there that, like, yeah, they're not really, really gone. It's just their bodies are gone. You know, like what is actually true for you? What do you actually know? Sometimes these disasters that are happening, whether they're in our lives or around us, what do we actually know about it? What is actually true for us? For you? What is true for you? And would you be willing to allow yourself to start having that reality? And anything that doesn't allow that, destroy and uncreate it. Good and bad, right and wrong, puck and putt, all night shorts, boys and beyonds. It's not, there's no answer in there. You might want to be like, you know, there might be some, we might get some awareness about things, but it is always a question. Because it's always changing. Right, just because today I want to drink a Coke, tomorrow I may not want to drink a Coke. Or maybe tomorrow I think Coke is the most awful, terrible product ever and I never want to see it again. But then the next day maybe I do actually want to have a Coke and it's not so bad. Things like we want, earlier we were talking about the conclusions. We so want to conclude this reality so much, because we want to have the right answer. There is no right answer and there are no conclusions. It is really literally just a choice. And what that choice is, stems from, it bubbles out of that energy under your heart. Mm-hmm. What is true for you? That's it.
Yeah, I love that. Thank
and
you.
If there was anything that I could impart or invite you guys to choose, is choosing more of that. even if it means, you know, doing something I don't want you to do, even if it means like people are going to hate you, or because that's just what you think. Even if you think people are going to hate you for making that choice or having it that way, do it. I challenge you. I invite you. I encourage you to start exploring that. What is really true for you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what I did. And yes, you know, I did everything against my family's, you know, rules and values and just, you know, all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to do what's right for me. And so I lost them for a while, not long, maybe a couple of months. But and then since then, they're used to it now. It's like, oh yeah, she's going to do whatever she wants. Yep. She's going to do what's right for me.
Yeah, my friend, my family knows that about me too. Oh, Mira, she'll get here at the right time.
Exactly. It'll be.
Okay. She might not come. I don't
know. Yeah. Right. And it's like, yeah. So, you know, but because I started choosing for myself, my whole life is completely transformed and changed. I mean, I've never been happier. I've never had so much more ease in my life, you know, and I'm traveling more and living here in Europe with the love of my life. You know, it's like, how did I get so lucky? You know,
wait a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I chose that. That's I created amazing. That, right? And so anybody can do that.
No, they can't.
Once you get out of trying to control it, right? So, Caroline, I know you're probably gone, so maybe you'll listen to this later, but love you. I know you're having a hard time, but love you anyways. So go back and listen to this, and you might get more nuggets for you.
Oh my gosh, later. We have said so much in this little bit of time.
Yeah, so go back and definitely listen to it. But
There's a lot here.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, so on the gifts page, so Mira is offering or gifting everyone who would like to receive that, a 20-minute free session. So that is on the gift page. And then the special offer that Mira has for us today is a personal one-on-one session. How long, Mira? I didn't even ask that.
You know, they're usually 45 minutes to an hour. That's so much change that can happen in that time.
Exactly. And so that is available for $97. So please do take a look at that. That is available. It's on the live page. Can just click on special offer, and if you're on watching this later, it's at laura.at/CYL, create your life, /Mira. But there's, I always put a button or a link so you can find it easily. And take advantage of that, see what you can change in 45 minutes to an hour. Not what you can change, but so much is possible to change when you are being facilitated by a person who has no point of view, who has no judgments, who is just there, you know. How does that work, Mira? Let's talk about that for a quick moment. How does that work, the one-on-one session?
So I've been, like I said, doing energy medicine and looking at bodies and doing access for altogether, like, whew. How old is my daughter? She's 16. So like 18 years now. And so for me, when I look at, I look at the energy of what people are talking about, like they want to create something. And if there are places where we're speaking and what we're saying is not congruent with what we're asking for, the energy is different. Mm-hmm. And so, so when people are talking to me about like, oh, I want this or I want that, or I want to change this, but it doesn't have the energy of change, I stop them and we talk about that and we podpock things, and maybe I share stories or my experience of things, and that space opens up for more choice. You know, a lot of times people have a fixed point of view about how they want their life to be, and life just really isn't like that. So sessions with me is about like really, like you get to look at what's happening. There probably isn't any wrongness in there.
Probably not.
Probably not. And getting you to a place where you actually don't see the black and white of things, but looking at for the possibility of things. I've had people come and be like, you know, I want this. Like, there is a woman who is saying that she just really wanted to have a better sex life. And she, I think she was, she just kept dating these guys that were like lame and blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, great, well, let's change that. Like, literally several hours later, she texted me saying like, oh my God, I just met this guy and it was amazing. And we had this great conversation and he was so into me and it was juicy. Like, wow. Like 2 days after that, she was like, thank you so much. I've been having the best sex I've ever had in my entire life. So when you're willing to create change and ask for something and clear the things that are in front of or limiting that ask, like, stuff will show up for you.
How does it get any better than that? And that's amazing that, you know, sometimes it's just a little shift in perception in your mm-hmm. point of view that suddenly opens up so much space so that more can come in, more of what you truly desire. And I think that's where sometimes we get stuck, is like we get stuck in that fixed point of view and we don't know how to get out of it, right?
Like, it's when you're in the forest through the tree. Like, you can't see the forest through the trees, or you can't see the trees because you're in the forest, or whatever that saying is.
Whatever
like
that phrase
when you're
is.
In it, it is so real for you.
Yeah.
And when you have somebody that can be like, hey, look over here. Did you? There's a path out right here. And then you go, oh my God, I couldn't see that path. Because when you're in it, it is so real. It's so real for you. And mm-hmm. you don't know where your choice is, and you don't know how to make a choice, and you don't know what the choices are, and it is so heavy and blind. I keep doing this with my face because it's like that. You can't see. So when you have somebody to facilitate you, it's like this stuff comes off of your eyeballs, and then you're like, oh my God, there's a choice right there that I can make that I never knew I had. Because that's what we do. We block ourselves from seeing all those other possibilities. We only give ourselves like two choices mostly when there's like a bazillion.
That's true. There's always another choice. And that's something that a lot of us are not willing to look at, that there's another choice, because for whatever reason, we are comfortable in where we are, which is hard to say, you know.
And I think really, like, when before I started doing Access, I really didn't know that there were other choices. Mm-hmm. I really didn't. It wasn't until Access and starting to like get out of that only two choice, like the menu of choice, like, wait, there's only two, or maybe three, rather than an infinite possibilities.
Infinite possibilities. And so, you know, going beyond mediocre to infinite possibility means being willing to change your point of views, be willing to have no point of view, no fixed point of view about something, and being willing to do whatever it takes to shift your reality, to shift the reality that you're in currently, so that you can start to create your desired reality, right?
Yep. Well, and then everything that you think about what it takes.
Yeah.
A lot of people have points of view about like, well, I'm not really willing to do whatever it takes, but really that's the same thing. It's the destroying of everything that you think it would actually take, because it's far easier. It's so easy. We make everything so hard.
Wow, absolutely. And sometimes we make it more difficult than it needs to be, and we get in our heads, you know, and we get stuck there, and then we can't get out, you know. So I love that, the, you know, expanding into space. That's what I'm going to call it. Expanding into space exercise that you shared with us today was beautiful. But, and also coming from your heart space, going out, that's, I mean, for me, that's where I live, is in the heart. And so, you know, expanding out and, you know, really experiencing that space in all that I do, and wherever I can feel that. Yeah, that's for me joy and peace and, you know, all the stuff that I really enjoy having in my life and experiencing. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, because so many people are still stuck in their head. So, you know, going back to your heart space, connecting to your body, that is so important. I hate to make it significant, but it really is important. Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, trying, you know, starting to have that conversation with your body. Body, what do you feel like eating today? You know, and just going to the fridge and asking your body, body, what do you feel like eating today? And see what pops, right? See what shows up and pops and like just lights up for you in some way. Or body, what do you feel like wearing today, right? And just.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like when you can start practicing, like getting, like you said, that heart space, that the essence of you resides, you know, in there. And when you can start making choices from that, and easy choices, like what do you want to wear, or mm-hmm. what do you want to eat, or which road do you want to walk down, or, you know, like when you start playing within the insignificant choices,
right,
then you can start to play with it with the more significant choices. And then when you're not choosing from that space, it becomes very evident, like, oh, wow, it just got super heavy when I said yes to that person. And I know what a lightness feels like, you know, like when you start to play that game of coming from your heart space, what would bring me more joy, what would be fun, then you can start to have it in the other places where you think, like where you're not used to making the choice from there.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Because you don't want to start off with a big, significant choice, you know, and fall flat on your face kind of thing, you know? So
well, that's the fear. I mean, you can just jump into the deep end and start swimming, because you will learn to swim.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, that's what I do. But for you guys, I would suggest, you know, baby steps.
If you want to take baby steps, start with the insignificant.
Start with something insignificant and then move up from there, you know, and do the who does this belong to? You know, we talked about that a little bit. Who does this belong to? Do it for 3 days, do it for 3 months, whatever works for you, right? Just do it and see what shows up. See how, where you really are, right? And what is yours and what's not yours. And then, you know, once you realize it's not yours, you start having more space and you start to be aware of what is yours. And then you can really change more when you know what is yours and what isn't.
That's funny.
Right?
One thing about that, who does it belong to? I mean, literally, that's just a way of you becoming aware of an energy that's present. It's not necessarily about finding out the answer of who does it belong to. It just becomes like, wait, is this true for me? Mm-hmm. Wait, is this really how I feel about this thing? Wait, is this body pain really my body pain? Body, mm-hmm. are you in pain? Are you tired? So it's not necessarily that you're looking for an answer. I just wanted to point that out when using who does it belong to. It's not that then you go look for an answer. It's really just giving yourself space to look at what's in front of you.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. Absolutely. I don't want to confuse anybody. So does anybody have any really quick question before we go? I mean, it's so funny how when we're talking on these calls, time just goes by so quickly, and it's like I don't get a chance to really ask, do you guys have a question, until I get to the end. It's like, oh, do you guys have a question? But I said you guys could ask at any time. So, you know, if not this time, you can always ask a question next time too. So any last words of wisdom, Mira, before we go?
Oh my gosh, so many words of wisdom, but really, like, if you guys could get anything out of this, that really allow yourself, just start playing with it. I take myself on what I would call like heart journeys or heart adventures, where I just let my heart make the choice, and I'll get in my car and I'll drive and I'll be like, are we going left or right? And I'll follow that energy in my heart. Are we going right or left? And then I'll just give myself like 3 hours of playing with that energy, and magic. Oh my gosh, magic shows up.
So that is so cool.
You guys to play my fun game. Because then you'll start to really feel what magic is for you, and then you can, like, because that is being, when you're just allowing yourself to be in that energy, then you'll be making choices from that energy, and then you'll really know when you're not making choices from that energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. And yeah, that's a fun exercise, again, to just get to know what is right for you, and basically when you're functioning from your heart space or functioning from being you, as opposed to being in your head, you know, really. And following the energy, right? Some of you may not know what that looks like and is, right? Following the energy. So that's a fun fun type of game to play on a Sunday afternoon.
Totally.
All right, everyone. So thank you so much. Go back and go to the gift page and check out Mira's gift for you, and also go to her special offer page, alora.at/CYL/Mira, and take advantage of her special offer so that you can get some clarity and maybe create some change in your life if you're ready to step into really creating your life the way that you desire, to go beyond mediocrity to infinite possibility. All right, everyone. So thank you so much for being here on the call, and we look forward to seeing you next time. So until next time, continue to live your life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Sending you all much love and blessings. Thank you so much, Mira. This was so much fun. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thanks for having me. And I look forward to playing with you guys in the future.
Absolutely. Let's play. Bye for now, everyone.